LT, Tom Anselmi spoke today, and you know, at the end of it, didn't give a ton of information because there's really not a lot. I don't think anybody knows what the future holds as far as game plans and everything. Ken Holland's going to speak next week, although I'm not sure at that point, you know, if they'll have any more information. There was kind of the two things that came out of it today. Number one, season ticket holders, the renewal date looks like that will be extended from March 21st, because I'm sure people are like, well, I'm not going to get my money. I have no idea if there's a season yet, so why would I do it at this point? And then there was a lot of other people that seemed frustrated. Mark Chipman in Winnipeg said they're right now, they're part-time people, or, you know, they get paid when events happen, and if the events don't happen, well, they don't get paid. And so some people are frustrated about what the orders are going to do with their workers. What do you think? Do they have to do what other teams do, or is it unique by each city?
Well, I think it's a number one. I always feel like you have to give an organization time. This is happening in real time, and just because one organization had thought through that particular area, it doesn't mean that every, you know, all 31 teams have. So you have to give them a little time. But it would be I suspect they will. It would be a PR nightmare for them not to. Already, you're seeing I'll call it a posse on Twitter who are mad as hell. And it's simply not for a company, for a business, for an organization like that that is so aware of its own brand. I suspect that they'll have something in the next while. I thought it was beneficial today, if only because now we have a starting point. You know, I thought it was well handled. I thought the entire thing was presented well, even though they didn't have a lot of information. They can actually tell people what they know and where they're at and what they're waiting for, so that the next time we hear something, possibly from Ken Holland next week, it will represent progress. Because right now they were pretty open about it. There's not a lot of knowledge. They're waiting for the health experts and for the NHL to kind of give them some guidance. And I expect there's frustration not just from the fan base and the reporters, but also from the folks who are ordinarily in charge of running an organization. And right now they don't have the kind of powers that they ordinarily would. But it was a good day, I think, to get out in front of it, and I think they did that.
Lotai, I love the way you phrase that, because I know personally I'm just craving information and answers. You know, and I think the more you can give out there just to let people know, whether it's, you know, whatever being tested or, but for the orders, just to say, this is what we know right now. I think people like that honesty. You know, I think people want that honesty today, because we really don't know. There's no game plan for this.
It's true. And even, you know, I had some feedback after the media avail while I was still on the air. People would just like to know that the players are being asked to stay away. There's no practices, just from the point of view of okay, that's off the table. So probably be what, a week or so that they'd have to get back practicing and that sort of thing, depending upon how long this layoff is. So we're getting a lay of the land, as my dad used to say, and that's good to get that information. I think it's a positive. I know there's frustration that there isn't any more information available, but the worst thing the owners could do is, you know, imply something or suggest something or give hope when there is none there. I think they laid their cards on the table, and we are all here. They've given us exactly what they have.
Talking with Alan Mitchell from the Lowdown Flow Tide. You can check in with him every day here on the station between 10 and 12. Today, the big Bob father, Bob McKenzie, was on one of the Toronto shows, and he talked a little bit about the idea of maybe hockey being pushed into July. And we don't know how anything's going to work out, but let's assume that at some point here in the spring, we're able to resume hockey. And let's hope that everyone's safe and we can do that. Is there an appetite for Stanley Cup finals in July, in your opinion, Mr. Low Tide?
Oh, yeah, for sure. This is a part of the world where the Stanley Cup means something, and now it would mean a lot more if there was a Canadian team involved. And I bet you there are, you know, the ratings won't be as high as they would have been if everything had proceeded in an orderly fashion. But for sure, I mean, in 1990, whatever it was, when they finished, they came back and they finished, I think, a little late, maybe late June. Everybody was still involved in it. I remember people bitching and moaning, but the ratings were still good. This is a hockey country, and I don't know about America, because they'll have their baseball season or whatever. But in Canada, we follow this, and even if it's an American team, a lot of Canadians are on that team, and we get, you know, caught up in the excitement of it. I know a lot of people people who were big fans of St. Louis lose winning a year ago just because Jay Bomeister was part of that team. So, yeah, there'll be there's not a time when the National Hockey League doesn't have major, major impact in Canada and certainly in Edmonton.
Well, interesting that you mentioned the United States because that's the big thing, right? The NHL can't. The NHL in Canada, we might end up being a little bit ahead of the United States. Maybe. We don't know what's going to unfold here in the next month. But the reality is, unless the United States is on the same page, the league can't start up.
Oh, sure. It has to be 31. Like I think we saw that going in, Jason. It was actually a really good, education about, San Jose, and then I think it was Columbus. It looked like they weren't going to be able to play. And once, there's 31 different, constituencies, but once one can't really have room to wheel, then it really impacts everything. And you could have maybe one team playing at a neutral site or a different place, but really it has to, whatever is going to happen here, and we don't know. We really none of us know. It's all, even the experts are saying, at a guess, this. We're just going to have to be patient. Matt Iwanek was on the Lowdown today, and he mentioned, I think it's April 2nd as the date where Italy's ban on sporting events of over a certain number of people will be lifted. We'll see what they do because they're a little more than 2 weeks ahead of us in terms of the coronavirus. So we'll know a lot more when they either lift or extend about how our spring is going to go. So we're just waiting on that, and it has to happen not just for Edmonton, but for San Jose and Columbus and all down the line.
Today I heard on your show you were talking about the idea of maybe replaying some of the great games of past. But how would that be possible? Because a lot of games you like were only on broadcast on radio. Would they be able to show them on TV? Or like how? I don't know. I'm not as smart as you. I don't know how that would work.
You're so funny. A great player, talented singer, but funny is what you are. You're so funny. Funny Jason, let me call you.
It really cracks me up.
Listen, I would. I'll tell you what. I'd love to see the 1970 Boston Bruins Stanley Cup win. I know that's on tape, but they could run it. I'd like to see many of the. We could have a week of Strudwick Classics. That goal where you scored, the game where you scored in the shootout. I would watch that game.
Well, you know what? Actually, I have my parents, and I was sharing this yesterday. My parents actually recorded many of my games on VCR.
Right.
On VHS. Yeah. So we could have a big broadcasting of watching me play 12 to 15 pretty decent minutes in the NHL of my time. If people are that desperate, we could get there in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, I have The Shift on tape. We can play that.
The Shift, that'll feel a lot. You know what? People are so negative on The Shift. And I'm like, the more I think about it, I'm like, it was actually pretty good because there was 5 Red Wings trying to score. And then by the end of The Shift, I was trying to score in my own net as well. So there's 6 people that are trying to score. And J.D. Delorier keeps it out. Like, that guy should get a medal.
He should. One thing I will say, though, and I will give you absolute credit, by the 5th time you were almost out and had to turn back, the fact that you didn't just retire then shows that you are a great man of courage.
Oh, man. It was so, Tom Rennie, that's probably one of the low points of his coaching career. When Chorney and I go out there for 4 minutes and get just hemmed in our own zone, then we come off, miss a shift, go back for 2 minutes, and then he benches us. Minutes in in the first 12. I don't forget, but I think there was some time left in the period. 6 minutes of ice time.
There's a point in that shift where you have finally secured the puck from Hercules on the other team, yeah. And you're looking to pass it to your teammate who has apparently abandoned you.
Oh yeah,
and so Hercules comes back at you, but you're still in there. I mean, you are a man of steel, and I'll give you that. One thing one game that I know you talked about with Mr. Hare there, Gazzola, was the 1975 New Year's game New Year's Eve game. Montreal and the Russians. That was a great game. I think the Habs were up 2-0 early, and then Russia scored maybe the second period, and then it was 3-1. And I think Russia got like 13 shots on Dryden, and they scored twice in the third period and tied that. That was a classic game. Roger Doucette sang the anthem that night too, so play the whole thing.
I love it. I have to say, well, we'll figure some of them. We have to go through our favorite anthem singers as well.
Well, there's of course, I go way back to Caruso and Kate Smith when she was young. I have a lot of memories of great anthems. I would like to see also the 72 Bruins game, and I just watched last night the 87 Game 7 Flyers Oilers. That team was so loaded. They had Nilsson, and I think Ritsalainen came on that year. In all honesty, at the playoff time, that was probably the best Oilers team ever.
Oh, it's a good. Well, that could be a great question too for a fun debate. LT, have yourself a good weekend. So here's my question now, with no sports, and I know you're a sports junkie. So yep. Mrs. Low Tide's hating this weekend. Already planning of having more conversations with you, but nonetheless, what is your one go-to movie that you will watch this weekend, knowing full well it would put you in a good mood no matter what? You're like, that movie, I'm going to watch it to replace my sports hours.
Well, I'm assuming that Columbo episodes are not movies, even though they were 90 minutes. So I will say Shawshank Redemption, which is a pure, absolute classic. And then if I want something like, humorous or something that is a little lighthearted, I might watch When Harry Met Sally.
Ooh.
When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, not bad, Al. I could see you spitting on the window. I could see that happening.
Hey, I do that as a matter of course. I do that just to prove I'm a man every day. I go spit on the window. And then I clean it right off again before Mrs. Low Tide.
There you go. Or maybe Night at the Roxbury when you break the window again.
Rocky's a good movie where they throw the turkey out the window. That's good.
Oh, hey, why not, Al? There's lots of good options this weekend. Lots of good options. Have a good one.
Hey, boys, be good.